Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He's sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 171 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast, the longest running episodic wrestling figure podcast going today. Hey, welcome to the stage, Charity.
Charity? Meaning you throw money at her and it's going towards a good cause? Support single moms.
We'll just leave it at that, Scott. I should have thrown out a different name.
Yeah, I actually like Charity. That's a good idea.
Hey, welcome to the stage, Brandy with an I.
With five E's.
My name is Jeff. Sitting alongside next to me is my real life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, on this show, we've got a little bit of news. We've got kind of a new segment. It's going to be at the beginning of the show, but it's not in a, it's going to be a one and done type deal. We're going to have a listener segment, and we also announced the next entrant into the Fig Life Hall of Fame. Everyone, head on over to Pro Wrestling Tees or whatamaneuver.net. Pick up any of our past t-shirts. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram Fully Posable WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts on fullyposablepodcast.com, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Scott, I forgot the iPod.
Oh, dude.
Yes, I failed.
So, wait a second. So, you're not going to read our five-star review?
No, I will not be reading anybody's five-star review this week.
Should we just make one up?
Too Fully Posable. You guys fuel my fire and break my bank. Thank you.
Well done, dude. You didn't even say who it was from.
It was from Arn Anderson. There we go. Thanks, Double A.
Oh, dude. Yeah, that's got to suck, man. He's not making that WWE money anymore, so we keep hyping these figures. He's having to go buy them.
I don't know. He seems to be doing pretty well with all these signings.
Good for him, man. Keep him going.
Thanks, Double A, for that five-star review.
Thanks, Double A.
By the way, it wasn't Arn Anderson the wrestler. We don't know who it was. Just some dude named Arn Anderson.
Yeah, a different guy named Arn Anderson. What are the odds?
You can email us any audio questions, or anything else at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, couple plugs. Wrestling Toy Tracker. Love these guys. I kind of use them now for Hasbro's.
Oh, nice. So you are using them as a tool?
Oh, yeah, I'm actually using them. At
Perfect.
@toy_tracker on Twitter. I'm using them as a tool. As kind of a, I'm not collecting Hasbro's, but I kind of like to see what a certain figure goes for according to their database and their averaging of prices. So I want to give them a shout out because I actually enjoy their website. I'm enjoying seeing what figures go for. They'll post on Instagram and they'll post on Twitter how much a figure goes for. And I find it very, very interesting. I wish they would do this for LJNs. I wish they would do this for certain figures, Galoobs. So I want to see them grow this thing. I want to see them use it for other WWE, Remco's, other wrestling figure lines. So I wanted to give them another shout out because I really enjoy their site. The other one I wanted to give a shout out to is BodySlamClothing.com. I want to give them a nice little plug because they gave us a nice plug on their website. BodySlamClothing.com, they have a sick, and I kid you not, sick, I'm actually considering getting it, Brian Pillman Jr. t-shirt and a hoodie. I was actually considering getting it. I have to get a few other things first. Got to wait till next month when the paychecks come in, but I'm going to be grabbing that Brian Pillman Jr. shirt because of how cool it is. So again, that's BodySlamClothing.com. Scott, I want to give a couple of shout outs also to a couple listeners. First, Soda Hunter. Soda Hunter created a WFP ring. Now, let me describe it to you. It's a black ring with red, white, and blue ropes. But right in the middle, he had custom stickers made. And it has our AWA/WFP logo right in the middle of it. He used the new Mattel retro ring for it. On the two belt holders, he's got you and me, which worked out perfect, holding ice cream bars from our Bulldogs of British t-shirt.
Oh, nice.
He's got our WFP logo from the Jack's Classic t-shirt where you and I were the Heart Foundation.
Yes.
He's got that WFP Classic Superstars logo, the Jack's kind of logo up top. He's got that on the ring. The ring looks beautiful. The time and the effort that he put into it means so much to us. So I want to say thank you to Soda Hunter for taking the time and doing that for us.
Yeah, thank you, Soda. It looks amazing. You put a ton of eyes on the show, on the Fig Life community. Thank you very, very much.
That means a lot to us that you did that. The other shout out I want to give to is good brother Ethan. Ethan did custom figures of Scott and I, and it's a tag team pack, or I should say a battle pack. It's a custom card. I'm to the left. If you're looking at the picture, I'm to the left. Scott's to the right. We have tag belts on. We've got our fully posable WFP logo. We're in the Heart Foundation gear, kind of similar to our Jax Classic 2-pack or t-shirt, where we're in the Heart Foundation gear. That was a great Easter gift for us, Scott. We opened it on Easter and jaw hit the floor. Love it. I'm hanging it up on the wall. It means the world that Ethan took the time to do this.
Yeah, the figures look awesome. Ethan sent a really nice letter with it. Ethan, dude, that meant the world to us. Thank you so much, man. Those figures look amazing. They're mint on card, just like we like them. We're in the Heart Foundation gear. It's reminiscent of one of our shirts. You even had custom shirts put on the figures. It's just, and the custom card itself is beautiful. So, Ethan, thank you very, very much. And at Scribble24 is the one who put those together with coordination with Ethan. So thank you, Scribble. Thank you, Ethan, so much. Thank you for the kind words in your letter. Really, really meant the world to us. Thank you, sir.
And this had taken Ethan quite a while to put this together. Ethan had worked long and hard with Scribble on this. This has been going back quite a few months. Shannon and the editor were in on this, I guess you can say, Scott?
Yeah. Yeah, they were helping him, and we had no idea.
Yeah, we had no idea that they were doing this. So, Ethan, thank you, man. Means the world to us that you did that. Can't thank you enough.
Thank you, Ethan.
Scott, Figure Friday. I actually chose two. First one comes in from Dustin, a.k.a. Cusetown underscore collector on IG. And Cusetown is C-U-S-E-T-O-W-N. Dustin got a kind of like a Mexican bootleg Hasbro Hulk Hogan in the press slam pose. It's a 10-inch bootleg. He got it for $8, dude.
10-inch?
He got 10 inches of Hogan, dude.
What? Okay, there's an obvious joke there, but dude, that's like a two-up.
It's basically a two-up.
Whoa.
The only thing missing is on the shirt. It doesn't have a logo.
So it's just a yellow shirt.
It's just a yellow tank.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Dude, that's crazy. Where in the world do you find something like that?
I have no idea. He found it for $8. He said the arms are in the press slam pose. And like you said, it is similar to a two-up. He asked his buddy, and his buddy kind of did some research on it, found out that it's a Mexican bootleg. And he says that actually goes for about $75. So Dustin got it for $8.
Dude, that's a steal.
I know. So anyways, that was kind of a cool little score for Dustin there. And I love the backstory to it. The other one comes in from Ray Corleone. He said that he went to a Bret Hart signing and he got the Bret Hart with the robe and the crown on. He got him to sign that. And he signed Bret Hart Excellence of Execution. I've never seen Bret sign that.
Oh, nice.
I've never seen Bret do an inscription, at least... Well, that wasn't mimicking Shawn Michaels or doing anything foul, X-rated to Shawn Michaels. But Ray was saying due to him wearing a Tyson shirt, he spent time talking to Bret for a few minutes, he said, which was pretty damn cool. And it was funny, too, because in the picture, Bret's wearing a Tyson shirt also. He said the dude hosting the meet and greet got so pissed off because Bret was taking his time. And also, he was selling shades, Bret was, and the dude didn't get a dime for it. So he kind of, the promoter got a little upset, but Bret didn't care. That's like when we met the Hardys up in Hayward at Southland.
Yes, when we snuck in.
I was talking to the Hardys about their old promotion, and Kirk White was getting pissed that the Hardy kept talking to me. And he's like, we got to scoot this line along. And like Matt Hardy's like, okay, whatever, you know?
And then at that point, you snuck me in for the photo I wasn't supposed to be in.
Oh, that was so funny because you were like, oh, I'm supposed to be in this photo. And Jeff Hardy goes, oh yeah, get in here.
Kurt White's fuming.
Oh, Kirk White. He lost like $20 on that because you got in the photo.
A whole 20.
So thank you, Dustin. And thank you, Ray, for sending in those Figure Fridays. Scott, did you do any toy spotting while you were in Reno?
I did not, dude. I just did not have any time. We were out with the kids having a great time in Reno, swimming, bowling, doing all sorts of stuff, eating at the buffets. So no toy spotting from me. But if I did do some toy spotting, it would go something like this. I went to Target. I went to Walmart. The pegs were dry, as always. The end.
Sorry, you were talking. All I heard is you found Alexander Wolf and the new retro series.
Yeah, and 17 Pete Dunns.
Oh, 17. Nice, dude.
17, yeah. I was hoping for 19, you know, so I could sell one for, you know, at least like $150.
Now you're hitting Good Brother Mike status, dude.
I know. See, Mike will get like 18 or 19 Pete Dunns and he'll sell them at cost plus shipping. See, that's what a good brother does in the hashtag Fig Life.
Absolutely.
The not good brothers that claim they're from the hashtag Fig Life want to go and mark them up to $150.
Yeah, don't get me started on that one.
Yeah, that's the not good brothers that really, really shouldn't be using the hashtag Fig Life when they go and promote those figures. Because guess what? You're not getting a retweet from us, and you're probably going to get hammered by the Fig Life. The real good brothers in the Fig Life.
Like Good Brother Mike.
Like Good Brother Mike.
He's the kingpin of toy spotting.
Yes, he is. The Big Lebowski of the Fig Hunt.
Yep. He should be wearing a robe and a crown for being the king of toy spotting.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I did toy spotting too. Once I saw the Alexander Wolf hit, I was like, okay, I'm not going to have any luck, but it's worth a shot. So I checked Targets, nothing. I've been taking pictures and posting it on Twitter, and everybody's seeing my woes out here. But I do have to say, our San Leandro Walmart got Elite 65 in. We never got 64, but we did get 65.
Oh, that's weird that it just entirely skipped a series.
We got 65 in. No Chase Aiden English, so okay, whatever. But it was funny. Somebody had taken a Nia Jax from Elite 65, one of the greatest female figures ever made. They popped open the packaging and swapped the heads and put it back on the pegs. They didn't take no heads. They didn't take the figure. They just popped it open just to switch the heads.
Wait, so they moved... They just swapped their places?
No. They took the Nia Jax. They took one of the heads that's in the packaging, one of the floating heads that's down in the lower corner.
Oh, okay.
Popped it out and popped it on the Nia Jax figure, took the other head, put it back in the packaging, and put it back on the shelf.
Wow.
I guess I got to give them credit that they didn't take the figure?
Yeah, technically, they didn't steal anything. They just damaged the package?
Yeah. So if there's a loose collector that needs a Nia Jax in the Bay Area, right there...
What, were they practicing head swaps or something? What was that all about?
I have no idea. They didn't take the figure. I mean, like, we've seen numerous times where people are taking stuff out and putting other stuff in or just taking the figure out and leaving an empty box like a John Cena box.
Right.
But they swapped the heads and put it right back on the pegs.
That's a new one. Okay.
What's the point?
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyways, that was the highlight of my toy spotting, so.
Was seeing a swapped head Nia Jax.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Elite 65 was out. I was actually really shocked. I was not expecting to see that at the San Leandro Walmart. We totally skipped over 64.
Not surprising.
Backlund never hit the San Leandro Walmarts out here. But, I mean, okay, 65 is here, so there we go.
Okay, well, we're moving in the right direction. That's a good thing.
All right, Scott. This is our one-and-done segment. I was thinking about... the portrait that I just bought or the picture that I just bought with the Mount Rushmore on it. I was getting autographs on it. What I wanted to do is I wanted to play this Mount Rushmore game. We all play it. Top four wrestlers of all time. Put them up on the Mount Rushmore. Yada, yada, yada. But what I want to do, I want to switch it around a little bit. Top four autographs up on a Mount Rushmore, Scott. Do you have your top four?
I do. Do you want me to go first?
Yes, please.
Okay. So what I did is I went through the autographs that I have on my wall. I didn't go off of autographs that I've seen. I just did the ones that I've got up on my wall. It's a decent selection up on the wall. And I know that we mentioned two of the four of these all the time. The first up, and it's no surprise here, Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Beautiful signature. Takes up most of the bubble on his figures. Awesome signature. Second, King Harley Race. Another one that has not only a beautiful signature, but it takes up most of the bubble on the figure itself. Next up, same deal as Harley and Beefcake, Jerry the King Lawler. Nice big loopy signature, takes up most of the card. Sometimes he'll even put your name on it and put an exclamation point at the end, which is, I think that's how everybody should sign their name. Put a big exclamation point on the end. Makes it very exciting. And last but not least, Jeff, Bret the Hitman Hart. And my favorite thing about Bret Hart's signature is the fact that he puts the three little dots after Hitman. So it just flows the way that he was announced when he came to the ring, because they would kind of pause after Hitman, or they would stretch it out and he puts those three dots. I love that. But another beautiful signature that takes up most of the card.
Four dots.
Oh, four. I'm sorry, Mr. Technical.
It is four dots. Dude, it's Bret. Of course I'm going to say that. I'm gonna correct you on that. Four dots.
Okay, thank you.
So what I did is I kind of looked at my autographs as well. So what I did, Scott, is this was my criteria. One, it has to take up all the bubble.
Okay, so they're even like drawing over their face.
They could be drawn over the face. I don't care. The autograph looks beautiful, I don't care. I want to go to a wrestler, have them sign their figure, and make it feel like I got my money's worth out of it. A la Sergeant Slaughter at StarCast. I was grumpy that I paid $40 for it, but when he signed it, it made me feel like, okay, I feel a lot better that I got this autograph. So I go by the looks of the autograph, the time they put into the autograph. Now, I couldn't just fit four. So what I'm going to do is, here's the back side of the mountain. These are people that are on the mountain, but they're not the prominent ones.
So this is honorable mention.
Honorable mentions. There you go.
Oh, see, I have those too. I was going to wait until you did your four, and then I was going to throw my honorable mention in.
Okay. So on the back side of my Mount Rushmore, I have Bret, my favorite wrestler, one of my favorite autographs, but he did not make the top four. Sergeant Slaughter, like I said, the way he dressed up the Funko, the way he signs his figures, I love it. It makes you feel like you got your money's worth in that autograph. Now, I'm going to surprise everyone, but if people see the autograph, you'll understand. The Shockmaster / Typhoon. When he signed my Shockmaster figure, dude, I was like, yes, I love this. He signed it. It was big. It was bold. For other people, he puts the Clash of Champions in for when he did that. Then he signs his name, obviously. But I love it because he takes up the whole bubble, and you're hitting all my senses with that. And last is Brutus Beefcake, because Brutus has a beautiful signature. So who are my first four? Obviously, Jerry Lawler. We've talked about him numerous times, about how beautiful his autograph is. And if anybody ever goes to a signing, you see Jerry Lawler on the bill, go get his signature. You're going to get your money's worth.
Absolutely.
Next one, Ricky Steamboat. Ricky Steamboat just signed my Elite Flashback. If I wouldn't have just gotten this autograph and been reminded of how beautiful his autograph is, I would have probably put him on the backside. But this past autograph, and also what he did with Hova's chair from WrestleMania 3, I love it. So I'm putting Steamboat on the first four. Next, obviously, Harley Race. Words do not describe his autograph. It's just absolutely beautiful. Even at his age, he's still putting out beautiful autographs, beautiful penmanship. As I said, you feel like you got your money worth. And last, I'm going to say Jeff Hardy. With the way Jeff Hardy dresses up his signature, he deserves to be on the front of that Mount Rushmore, in my opinion.
That's a great list, dude. And it's funny because I've got Slaughter, Hardy, and Steamboat on my honorable mention list. So those are excellent signatures. Steamboat for sure. But Jeff Hardy, just because he adds that artistic touch to it,
yep,
it's just a beautiful, beautiful signature.
And I'm not knocking like Hogan. I think Hogan has a beautiful signature. But these are like my top eight. These are the guys that when I got their signatures, I was like, oh, yeah, this is cool. You know, I got my money's worth and I'm just happy as can be.
So on my honorable mention list, I didn't do just four. I just kind of ran through and I was like, yeah, that's a really nice signature. Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Now, is that because of the new?
Yeah, exactly. Because I've got it in my collection. I had seen Hacksaw's autograph in the past.
Right.
But it didn't really register with me. But the red, white, and blue and the HOF 2011 on there, that just really pops for me. And I think it's a great looking signature.
The other one I would also want to mention is Iron Sheik. Now, Iron Sheik back in the day had a great signature. Now you can tell it's kind of starting to fall off a little bit. I mean, it still looks good, but I mean, it's not what it used to be when we originally got it back in 2005.
Yeah.
Iron Sheik is one person I would like to give an honorable mention to because his autograph was beautiful back in 2005. Continue with your list.
Another one, Jeff, Ric Flair.
Yes, yes.
And I love when he puts the 16 time on there. It just adds a lot to the signature, but he's got a very, very nice signature. Lita is another one.
Yeah.
She really dresses up that signature.
A great call on Lita. That's an excellent call. Trish could be on there too.
Yep, Trish is on there. One that we've mentioned in the past when we were talking about signatures not too long ago, it's just a couple weeks ago, Samoa Joe.
Oh, yeah, good call, dude.
Yeah, we seem to be going, like, retro on the list. It's a lot of older guys, but bringing it to the newer guys, Samoa Joe really does have a nice signature and really takes his time when he's putting pen to figure.
Excellent call on that one.
Another one that flies under a lot of people's radar, and mostly because he didn't have a lot of figures back in the day, D.H. Smith.
I don't remember his auto.
So I've got the battle pack of him and Tyson Kidd, and I need to get Tyson Kidd's signature to complete it, but I got the D.H. Smith autograph, Jeff, when we went to Wrestle Reunion back in 2012. And I was going through my autographs, and I looked at his, and to your criteria, it goes from top to bottom on his half of the bubble. And it's a nice big signature, very legible, so I wanted to make sure that he definitely got an honorable mention. One that I've mentioned before also, Jeff, Superstar Billy Graham. Not the neatest, but he takes his time when he signs, and it's from the top to the bottom of the card. And to basically tag team off of your Iron Sheik, and this is the last one on my honorable mention, Nikolai Volkov. Obviously, not one that you can get anymore, but a very clear, legible signature. It's not a top to bottom signature at all. It takes up maybe a quarter of the card. Yeah, a quarter to a half. But a very nice and neat signature. Very clearly says Nikolai Volkov. So I wanted to make sure he got on the list as well.
Good call on that one. Yeah, there's a lot of... Sean's is okay. Sean's is good. The way he signs it, get a figure signed, it does go across the figure top to bottom. But I think we made great choices with the ones that we chose for this Mount Rushmore. If anybody else has any recommendations or any signatures that they want to show off on Twitter, please do. Maybe there's some that we forgot. Mean Gene was pretty good. So if you guys have any signatures that you want to show off, please do. That you guys were like, oh, what about this one?
Yeah, anybody we forgot, please. And hashtag it Signature Sunday. Why not?
That was fun, dude. See, that's what we do. We come up with new segments and new innovative ideas on this show. It's not just news, listener, all that stuff. Yeah, we come up with innovative stuff. We've been doing that for 171 episodes.
The innovators of segments.
Scott, we do have a little bit of news. What do you say we jump into it?
Let's talk about it.
You didn't know?
Scott, Toys R Us is back in the news yet again. Toys R Us plans to return for the holidays with downsized stores. Article says, Toys R Us is plotting a comeback, but with stores that are much smaller than the ones the iconic retail chain operated in the past. True Kids Brand, a licensing firm formed last year by creditors following the toy chain's September 2017 bankruptcy filing, plans to open a handful of U.S. stores in time for the holidays that will span about 10,000 square feet each, the Post has learned. That's downsized sharply from the 600 stores that were shuttered for good last spring, which had typically spanned 20,000 to 50,000 square feet. They said, we are a little startup company now, True Kids chief executive Richard Berry said, confirming the pint-sized store plans. Berry declined to comment on where the new shops will open, but the chain's biggest locations previously were in New Jersey and on Long Island, according to Jim Silver, president of Toy Review site. There's no guesswork on their part about where to open stores because they know which ones perform the best, Silver told the Post. Controlled by the investment firms Angelo Gordon and Solus Alternative Asset Management, True Kids owns both the Toys R Us and the Babies R Us brands, as well as the rights to mascots Jeffrey the Giraffe. While Toys R Us disappeared from American retail landscape, the brand is licensed to more than 900 stores in Asia and Europe, which generated sales of more than $3 billion for True Kids last year. True Kids said it will open 70 more stores overseas this year. In the U.S., True Kids operated Jeffrey's Toy Box pop-up stores inside 600 Kroger grocery stores during the holidays. So we may have Toys R Us back yet again.
Yeah, in some way or another, yeah, they are coming back. And as you just mentioned, they were little pop-up stores this last holiday. And it looks like they're going to be small stores at first. But hey, it has to start somewhere, right? Start small, get your feet under you, and let's move forward. I think that that's great news. And still crickets on KB Toys. Hopefully we hear something about them very soon.
Yeah, we haven't heard anything yet. Credit to the New York Post on this one for that article, but this is great news. Another place to get wrestling figures. Who knows? If this takes off, that means that Mattel can make a big playset and put it in the stores. Who knows?
That would be great.
That's way, way in the future. But that's kind of forecasting how great it would be to have something like that back. Scott Funko showed off a new Bret Hart Funko where he's got his arms out. He's got the black jacket, the pink shades on. Showing off Elias, which is this one and it gets you to buy a Funko, Scott?
You know, it's really getting there, dude. That was definitely my favorite one that was shown. And, dude, it's so good. I'm already an Elias fan, and then they go and release a Funko that looks like that. Come on, guys, you're killing me. That thing's awesome.
You're going to break your no Funko rule for Elias, huh?
Possibly.
Becky Lynch, this will be her second Funko, and she'll be in her wrestling gear, got the orange hair. Undertaker, and he will be Ministry Undertaker. And Scott, did you check on Shannon? Because Trish Stratus is also getting her Funko.
Yeah, and that one's going to get got. For sure, that one's definitely going to be coming home with us.
Oh, so you are breaking your no Funko rule.
Well, that one's not for me. That one's definitely for Shannon. You know, as good as those Funkos look signed, I would love to get Trish to sign that one. I listened to Breaker and Bane over the weekend when we were heading to Reno. Shannon was playing them on the radio. I was listening to their podcast with her. And I think that they called it right on the Trish. It is, for the most part, it's fairly plain. And it's not super clear when you first see it. You're like, oh, okay, I got it. That's Trish. It kind of takes you a second because it is fairly plain. I'm thinking maybe they could have dressed it up a little bit and done maybe her old look where she had the big long jacket on and the cowboy hat. That might have been a more recognizable, like, oh, that's definitely Trish. This one takes you a minute, but then you look at it a little bit more, it's good. It is good, but dude, there's no doubt that one's definitely coming home with us.
So as of right now, you might be getting 2 of 5, huh?
2 of 5 are looking like they're going to be coming home, yes.
So those will be new Funkos, not sure of release date, but yeah, I'm getting like 3 Bret Hart, so I'm going to try to get another autograph. It was funny, when I got Bret Hart's autograph, Kirk White was standing to Bret's right, and I go, you don't come up to Northern California anymore, and Kirk White looks over at me like, oh, you're such a, you know what, and he looks over at Bret and he goes, yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you about coming up in August. And Bret goes, yeah, just let me know.
Oh, really? August, you say?
And Kirk goes, yeah, you know, come up, see the family and, you know, preseason Raider game. You could take in a Raider preseason game. And Bret goes, I'm not opposed to this. So,
well, you know, there's a certain con happening in August.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay, that's good to know.
August 3rd, Stocktacon. Can't wait.
Yeah, that's a name we could speculatively add to the list, maybe.
Kurt Angle's going to be there, and I guarantee he's not going to be yanked from that con.
No. No, he will not.
StarCast, he'll get yanked all day, but over at StocktonCon, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's good as gold there.
Well, hey, we'll take Undertaker, too, since StarCast lost Taker.
So anyways, I thought that was kind of cool. I just witnessed. I was like, oh yeah, make this happen, please. I need to get more Bret Hart stuff signed.
Nice. You spawned a deal. Good job, dude.
Yep. Oh, by the way, speaking of StarCast, Rock and Roll Express are going to be there.
Oh, nice.
Thanks to Hova, by the way. Happy birthday this past week, Hova.
Happy birthday, dude.
He was talking about how he had to scrub off some Sharpies, and we actually mentioned that last week.
Oh.
Guess what I think I'm going to be doing?
Oh, dude, you're going to do it?
I think so. I've got to get this signed in paint pen.
I couldn't.
They signed in black Sharpie over their black gear, and dude, it drives me nuts. It drives me absolutely nuts. I have another set. It's a Bret Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart deluxe 2-pack that was an exclusive.
Yes.
And they signed in black Sharpie. I will never be able to get that re-signed, unfortunately, but I still have a shot at this Rock and Roll Express.
That is, I wouldn't be able to do it, dude. Honestly, like, we talked about it, about what Hova had done on his, and it looks fantastic. I don't know if I could do it. You know what I would do? I would buy another set of figures.
Oh, no, I'm not paying that, dude. Those Rock and Roll Express figures are bank.
Okay, but here's the kicker, okay? I'm just giving you worst case scenario.
Oh, God, here we go.
Well, not worst case, but worst case, okay?
Okay.
Friday night, you're getting everything packed, ready for your trip. You take your Rock and Roll Express off the wall. You work your elbow grease, and then you go take the signatures off the figures. And then you get on the plane, you land in Vegas, and it comes across your phone that the Rock and Roll Express have canceled. Or worse yet, Robert Gibson or Ricky Morton have canceled, and only one of the two will be there. And you've scrubbed off your signatures.
I'm going to take that risk.
Dude.
I'm taking that risk.
Dude, see, and that's why I would just buy another set. Nope, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
As much as those sets are going for on eBay, I'm like, nope, not doing it.
Man, I get what you're saying, but dude, scrubbing off a signature, especially one that you've paid money for.
I know.
I would just be like, screw it, I'm going to have two sets, and I'll hang up the painted set, and I'll just put the other set away somewhere, and oh, dude, I couldn't do it. You're braver than I am. You are definitely braver than I am. Don't send me pictures of you doing it, please.
So it sounds like Celeste doesn't have anything to do on Saturday because I'm going to be catching a flight after Alana's graduation to Vegas.
Right.
So Celeste said she has nothing to do. So she's going to go to StarCast. Ted DiBiase is going to be there. Ted DiBiase has Hasbros. So I'm going to take a couple of card collectors and have DiBiase sign one. The next day, Billy Gunn is going to be there.
Excellent.
Billy Gunn has a Hasbro. You can see where I'm going with this.
The sickness has started.
Oh, dude, it has. I went down this rabbit hole and I'm like, ah, crap, here we go.
I think it looks so good, dude, honestly. Like, and it's a great way to get a signature over the figure. Obviously, the Hasbro bubbles, you can't sign those.
Right.
Because they were shaped to the figure itself. So, I mean, you're signing over curves. That doesn't work. It was always signed on the card itself. But, dude, these figure protectors, you can literally sign right over the front of the figure. They're beautiful, dude. I love that you're doing that and that you're actually putting the Hasbros in and displaying them. I think that's fantastic.
Yep. By the way, which DiBiase should I put in the card collector?
I would personally do the green suit.
That's what I was thinking too. Okay, so now I've got to think of a paint pen to kind of contrast the green suit. So
I would go yellow or pink.
I was thinking, dude, I was thinking those same exact colors.
All right, well, we're on the same wavelength on this DiBiase. I like it. Or you just send three and you get all three DiBiase signed.
That's three things I got to pay for.
Wah.
Oh, sorry, dude. I'm not Scrooge McDuck diving into money, dude.
Okay, how did he not break every single limb and every single bone in his body when he jumped into coins?
A Family Guy did a joke about that. Peter went to jump in and he's all, it's not a liquid, it's a solid.
As he's all deformed on the coins. Oh, dude, speaking of breaking a limb, okay, I just saw this video today of an NXT ref.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude. Okay, yeah, I know where you're going with this. I saw that too.
Massive, massive props to that guy. Living up to the slogan that the show must go on, his foot is facing the wrong direction and he counts to three. Dude, that guy needs to win a medal or something. Like, give that man a raise. Unbelievable. Kudos to him. What a champion.
Well, actually, he didn't count three. It was a kick out on two.
Oh, it was a kick out on two?
So the match continued, but Drake Wurtz?
Yes.
He had to continue the match and finish the refereeing. Yeah, I saw that too. His foot, compound fractured foot is facing the other way, dude. Like Joe Theismann stuff right there.
So the video I had watched, it was part of the match. And I want to say it was Velveteen Dream in the ring, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so he hit his finish on the guy. And I see the ref go over to count and his foot is facing the wrong way. And I had read that he had counted to three. I didn't actually finish the video because as soon as I saw the foot, I changed. I like clicked off of it. I'm like, oh my God, I can't watch this. I get like squeamish and lightheaded with that crap. I can't watch it. I like just caught his foot facing the wrong direction. I'm like, nope, I'm done. But dude, that amazing, amazing. That dude needs a raise and a job on the main roster immediately when he heals up. What a champion.
Save it for Tosh.0 on that.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyways, back to the card collectors.
Yes, sorry.
I'm going to get DiBiase and Billy Gunn to sign two card collectors.
Awesome. I love that you're doing that, dude. And WrestleCon next year, you might just have a big bag of plastic cases.
I was thinking about that. I really was, because I was thinking of all the people I missed at WrestleCon this year. Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Shawn Michaels.
I'm thinking of all these guys I missed. I was like, oh, Ricky Steamboat, too. I was like, yep. Oh, man, I missed all these guys. And I'm starting to love how the autographs look on these card collectors.
I like that the signature is over the figure. Like, that's always been a big thing. Like we even mentioned with signatures, the signature covers the top to the bottom of the bubble. Now you can do that on these card collectors with the Hasbros. And I love the way it looks.
Scott, FTC news. What you got?
Yes, FTC continuing with the big news that they got ROH back in the family. They released photos this week of Moose and ACH on the card and loose. I love them both, dude. I think they are both killer looking. I like the ACH wardrobe. I think that they nailed his gear. They look fantastic. They also released shots of the head sculpts from Marty Scurll, PCO, and Brody King. So FTC is full steam ahead with the ROH line, and I couldn't be happier.
Those were some of the figures, I should say, those are some of the head sculpts that Chris showed off at the Fig Life meetup. So Chris is always showing off stuff at the meetup. So next year in Tampa, you guys need to be there to see this, especially you, Scott. So
for sure.
I'm keeping up with this, dude. I'm living the gimmick.
I know it's every week,
but
if it's not Maddie Collector, it's Scott needs to be in Tampa.
Well, you dropped Maddie Collector first this week. There you go.
Boom.
Those were head sculpts that were showed off at the meetup. It was funny. I was talking to Christopher Dean about the Moose figure. And remember how you and I always talked about certain people had the body for Jax?
Yes.
Moose, in my opinion, has that Jax body. So I thought
very that, much so.
I yes. thought the body came out good because he has that Jax body mold.
Yes.
I thought it came out good. And actually, I was happy for him because a lot of people were they kept asking about the Moose and the ACH. Hey, when are these figures coming out? Chris had to keep telling them, not happening, not happening. And then finally, they were like, oh yeah, it's happening now. So anyways, I was happy that Chris was able to release those. A lot of love on the PCO, the Brody King, the Marty Scroll. A lot of love on the grayed out head sculpts. They look good.
Yeah, definitely keep your eyes on FTC. They're doing big things right now. And that Marty Scurll figure has so much potential, Jeff, with the outfits that FTC puts out on their figures, the gear. It's just flat out amazing. That is like their big strength is the outfits and the gear. Can you imagine how good that'll be with the mask, the umbrella, the jacket? That figure could literally be over the top, dude, and it could surpass Dalton Castle in my list of top FTC figures as number one.
Well, we don't know what accessories are coming with it. I mean, we may have to ask Chris that someday.
True, true. That's all speculation, of course, but knowing FTC, they play to their strengths, and that thing's going to be decked out. I think it's going to be one killer figure.
That rounds out the news.
Not quite. Not quite.
What did we do? What did I do?
The Toys That Made Us has given their episodes of their new season over to Netflix. So the ball, Jeff, is now in Netflix's court to allow the announcement of the dates that the next season of The Toys That Made Us is going to debut. So stay tuned to not only The Toys That Made Us, but also to Netflix, because those dates, that announcement, it's coming very soon. Very soon.
Everybody gets to see our sexy asses on Toys That Made Us for about 5 to 10 seconds.
Well, I don't know about our rear ends, but maybe our faces.
Wait, we did grab those figures quite a few times. We were bending over to grab the figures that were behind us. So
yeah, you can see our sexy fingers too.
Oh God, I wish I didn't bite my nails.
You're like, Scott, you hold the figure. I could be a hand model.
Dude, I told Celeste, I was like, I'm not watching the episode. I'm not watching it. I'm going to be off social media for the next 6 months.
Yeah, going to seclusion.
Going to hiding. Okay, now that rounds everything out, right, Scott?
Yes. We're ready for our close-ups.
We're going to combine the listener segment and the next entrant into the Hall of Fame in one segment. So let's get into that, Scott. Scott, we are combining the listener segment and the Hall of Fame and actually poll of the week. So not the gentleman's church poll, Scott.
Okay. Gotcha. We're not talking about charity anymore. She's
no
on the stage. She's done. Okay.
Not talking about Brandy with five E's.
Okay. Gotcha.
So the poll of the week was actually for the Hall of Fame listener pick for the 2019 Hall of Fame. So who did the listeners choose for the top four, Scott?
Drum roll, please.
The Ultimate Warrior WrestleMania 7 defining moment, Jake Roberts Hasbro, Stone Cold Jack's Deluxe Classic. I actually seconded that one because I love that classic so much. And Shawn Michaels Hasbro. Ultimate Warrior WrestleMania 7 defining moment got 35%.
And who would have been your pick, Jeff?
My pick was actually the Stone Cold Jax Deluxe Classic because I love it. I think that that exclusive was a home run. It's kind of like your Shawn Michaels Jax Deluxe Classic with all the titles. The Stone Cold is like that, but wider, and it looks fantastic. It's like almost like in a two-pack with all the titles, the Hall of Fame trophy.
Gotcha. Okay.
Jake Roberts Hasbro got 29%. The Stone Cold I just talked about got 17%. And the Shawn Michaels Hasbro, where he's in the red and white tights, got 19%. Ultimate Warrior defining moment, WrestleMania 7, is the listener's pick for 2019 Fully Posable Fig Life Hall of Fame, Scott.
Welcome, Ultimate Warrior. Very well deserved, Jeff. I know that the knock that you have on that figure is the face. And actually, I've read quite a few people on Twitter. A lot of our listeners have said the same thing, that there's better Warrior heads out there that they could have chosen. But overall, really what does it for this one is the jacket that he's wearing. Fantastic figure. I agree with the nomination. Welcome to the Hall of Fame, sir.
Yeah, we'll go more into it when we have the ceremonies, but it's such a good figure. It really is. The knee pads, everything. We'll go more in depth on it when the ceremonies hit. But the listener's pick for 2019 is the Ultimate Warrior WrestleMania 7 defining moment.
Jeff, would you say in terms of defining moments, if you had to pick three that you had to own, would you say that it's Hogan, Macho Man WrestleMania 7, and Ultimate Warrior WrestleMania 7?
That I had to own?
Yeah, if you could only have three defining moments in your collection.
It would be Macho Man WrestleMania 7, which is in the 2018 Fig Life Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Razor Ramon, because I love that defining moment.
Okay.
And then it would be Hogan.
Oh, so a Warrior is not in your must-own list.
The head sculpt just kind of ruins it. But I mean, it's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a great figure. The detail on the knee pads, the jacket, they dressed it up beautiful, but the head just kind of ruins it for me a little bit.
Okay, so from the neck down, this is a perfect figure, what you're saying. But they chose the wrong head on there.
Yes.
Okay.
Although, you know what? I would be, the defining moment Sting Crow one. That one is up there too.
It's so hard to pinpoint three defining moments to have in your collection, right? Because this line is iconic within the Mattel umbrella. This line is absolutely iconic. There have been so many good ones. And so far, this is now the second going into our Fig Life Hall of Fame. I mean, next year, I'm sure there's going to be another one going in. It's just the defining moments line is outstanding. Like, Mattel really set the bar with this one, so it's no surprise there's another defining moment going to the Fig Life Hall of Fame.
So, as mentioned, we will go in further in depth on it, but welcome WrestleMania 7 Ultimate Warrior defining moment. Scott, it's time to get in the listener question. We have a few questions. First question comes in from Star Wars Fiend. He likes Star Wars.
Hey, who doesn't?
Oh,
don't you say you.
You know me, I'm not a Star Wars. I just can't get into that sci-fi stuff. I comic books and sci-fi, I just can't get into.
But you love Deadpool.
Oh, God, that's terrific.
I don't really like sci-fi and superheroes. It just doesn't... But you love Deadpool.
You got me on one. But, dude, like, you know me, I don't go see Batman movies. I'm not seeing Avengers. I unfortunately, thanks to LaShawn McCoy from the Buffalo Bills, he spoiled something today.
Dude, what a jerk.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Whoops.
What? No, that's not even a whoops. That was intentional. Come on.
I'm not going to get into it. No spoilers here, folks.
Oh, no, absolutely. No, we're not into the spoiling game at all. In fact, we'll get pissed at people that do it. But man, what a jerk.
So anyways, this comes in from Star Wars Fiend. It says, guys, as always, keep up the amazing work. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
I have not written in a very long time. In fact, it was last summer when I wrote about how bad losing Toys R Us would hurt us, and it is hurting big time.
Agree.
Bill talked about that last week.
It took one of the major retailers out. He absolutely did mention it. That's a great point.
The good old days are behind us, and when I lose out to guys flipping Pete's and Sensational Sherry's online, it is the day I want to fight back. I personally think exclusives hurt the actual collector, as when a scalper hears exclusives, all bets are off and they are seeing green. I thought long and hard and wondered if Mattel would ever do an archive line in the future. This would be similar to what Star Wars is doing, reintroducing figures that go for triple or more on the secondary market. This would allow us to get some of the newer figures and maybe some of the older figures with updated face sculpts, like CM Punk, Dave Bautista, MVP, Paige, and so many more who can be updated. By doing this line, it will allow 2/3 to be on the pegs at a time and keep it separate from the main line. What do you guys think, and maybe some updated figures you would like to see? Also, with talks of AEW getting a possible TNT TV contract, do you think they would get a separate line at main retailer for figures? I would love to see an elite style Young Bucks Cody Rhodes, Chris Jericho, possibly Dean Ambrose if he goes, Kenny Omega, and many others. I remember when Impact, WCW, ECW all had their own lines and still love my Shark Boy figure from Impact. That was a good figure. Until next time, Michael, Star Wars Fiend. First, I would love for the Mattel to put out old figures. I know they wouldn't be able to do CM Punk.
It would MVP. It would have to be guys that are under the WWE umbrella. That would be all they could release.
So to release maybe older figures, maybe a Pete Dunne or something like that. The thing is that Pete Dunne, he's going to get another figure. They saw how well this figure took off. They're going to do another one. It's like the entrance great. They did a Jeff Hardy, very, 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 very similar to that Series 1 Jeff Hardy.
Right.
They're going to do it. They saw the numbers. They saw people wanted this figure. There was a high demand for this figure. They're going to do it again. That will bring it down. But I wouldn't mind seeing a line where they could do that, where they could bring back some older figures that were in high demand. Like he said, Star Wars is doing it, Scott.
And see, I didn't know that. And I think that that's a great idea. I don't think that it hurts the value of the original figure so much because it's an entirely different package. You know what you're getting if you want to go back and collect that certain one. I believe that they did that with Kane not too long ago. They released a Kane that was very similar to a Kane that had been released years ago. And as far as I know, it didn't hurt the value of that older Kane. You're either going to buy the older one or you're going to buy the newer one. It shouldn't affect the value either way. So yeah, I would love to see them come out with some older figures that they had done way back when. The red Kevin Nash, for example, the Outsiders Kevin Nash.
Yes.
That one was a great figure. The Elizabeth in the white dress, as opposed to the green one that came out in the TNF set. I would like to see that one re-released. Those are just a couple, but yes, I completely agree with him that it would be great if they would re-release some of those older figures. And especially with people coming off the concussion protocol that were back in the day, or guys that are going to come in under a Legends deal, like he mentioned MVP, I would love to see another MVP figure. I think that would be fantastic.
Regarding AEW, I would love to see them get a toy line because they've got national exposure now.
Well, they will. We don't know anything yet, officially.
Yeah, nothing yet, but it's almost set in stone. So when they get the national exposure, what if Hasbro did it?
Well, here's the thing, right? With the Young Bucks LJNs that are out, who knows if LJN is going to be the official partner of AEW to produce the toys. That's really going to put Mattel's theory to the test, because remember when we spoke to Bill last year, their concern was, does an 8-inch rubber figure play at retail? In their mind, the answer was no, because of shipping costs, what have you. That's really, if LJN is AEW's partner at retail for the toy line, that's going to put Mattel's theory to the test. Will it succeed? Who knows? I mean, with a national television deal on AEW's side, it makes sense to put the toys right behind it. Is it smart to put 8-inch non-posable rubber figures at retail today? I don't know. According to Mattel, the answer is no. So it's, we'll see. We'll see. Would my preference be LJN? I don't think so. I think I side with you more, Jeff, when I say Hasbro as well. And it doesn't even have to be the old WWF Hasbro style. It could be, you know, something similar to what Mattel is doing with theirs. I would prefer to see something maybe more poseable, better sculpts. But we'll see. We'll see what the future holds. Nobody knows any answers yet, and even what national television company is going to get AEW. We just know that the Young Bucks have LJN figures, but we don't know who their toy company is going to be yet. Smart money's probably on LJN, but we'll see.
Also, dude, Hasbro could always do a bigger scale with more articulation. So I think that would probably be the best way to go.
Well, I want to say LJN, right, because of the nostalgia. But from what I've seen from those figures so far, I'm not crazy about them. And of course, people said that about Figures Toy Company when they first started producing their figures. And we've seen the progress that FTC has made with their line. It's gotten really, really good in the last 3 years.
Right.
LJN could go the same arc, right? Where they start out not so great, which is my current opinion of those figures until I have them in hand and can see them. But we'll see. Again, we don't know who the television deal is with. We don't know who the toy company deal is with, aside from the Young Bucks LJNs. So it's strictly speculative at this point. We don't know. But I think I side with you with Hasbro, Jeff, for the AEW line.
Thank you, Michael, again for your questions. Scott, next question.
Great question.
Next question comes in from Austin Reds. Austin just won a contest online and won an elite figure, I think. Anyways, congrats, Austin.
Oh, congrats, dude.
He said, hey guys, Austin here. I have a question. With Mattel now giving the guys in the Elite Collection line extra hands, what figure do you want them to make with certain kind of hand? For me, I want Mattel to do a new Vader with his extra hands being that V thing he used to do.
Great call.
Talk to you guys later, Austin. Thank you, Austin. Thank you so much for also all your support. Vader's a great call. Yeah, that's a home run right out of the chute right there.
Yeah, dude, how do you even top that?
Can't.
yeah, really.
You could do a Matt Hardy, but they already did that with the SummerSlam collection. You know what would be cool is a Macho with a finger up in the air.
Yes.
That'd be
not
cool.
Not the middle finger. Index finger.
No, that's saved for the Austin figure.
Good point. Or do the Hogan, when they finally do put out a Hogan with the hand cupping to the ear, and then like a finger pointing.
Oh, yeah, huh. I would have said Nakamura, but you know they've already done that on Nakamura. I'm trying to think of other people with hand gestures that...
Well, if they ever do Dudley's again, they could do the where they hold up the three.
Halt on that. Halt on that.
I know.
So those would probably be our answers for the people with extra hands.
Definitely doesn't top his Vader, though. That wins.
I know, dude. He stole that right out of the chute. I'm like, well, I'm going to struggle through this one.
Yeah, right?
Thank you, Austin, and thank you again for all your support. Scott, next question comes in from Josh Thompson. Hey, Jeff and Scott, JT here, back with a weekly question. If you guys had the resources, time, space, and money, what stages from WWE or WCW would you recreate for your wrestling figure arena? The two I'd really like to recreate is the Bash at the Beach and the Halloween Havoc, two of my favorite pay-per-view stages. I like how they both get you in the mood for their respective seasons, Bash at the Beach, Summer, Halloween, Havoc, Halloween. If I had everything I needed to do so, I would recreate those stages for my figure setup or arena in a heartbeat. As far as stages, Halloween Havoc always was a home run.
Yeah, those were the two that jumped into my head as soon as I heard the question was definitely Halloween Havoc and Bash at the Beach from WCW.
Dude, what about tables, ladders, and chairs with all those?
Dude, I was literally just going to say that.
All the chairs hanging down and stuff?
Yes. Yes, that would have been perfect. What a killer stage set to have.
Also, that ramp that would go all the way to the ring that was in Japan and then WCW would do it.
WCW did that at Starrcade 91. That's another one I'd like to throw into the mix too because I like those stages that go right to the ring.
Oh, dude, what about that pay-per-view where they had all the wrestlers up on like a platform kind of deal?
So that was the Iron Man tournament, right?
I think so.
That would have been Starrcade 89, I believe.
Where they had all the wrestlers up on like a platform. They were all kind of standing there like they were graduating.
Well, right, because they were doing the round robin tournaments on that card.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, I want to say that was Starrcade 89. And that was where Sting won the singles and the Steiners won the tag team when they beat the Road Warriors in the final.
Look at you. Your knowledge.
Dude, I love that card. That one's good. And I'm horrible with names now, but I want to say that was Starrcade 89. But dude, WrestleMania 34 was such a beautiful stage. I would love to see that one recreated.
WrestleMania 33 with the roller coaster, I thought that was also well done too. I thought that was a really good stage.
That's a good one. And dude, how about WrestleMania 20 and WrestleMania 21?
Those were pretty good stages, yeah.
Yeah, the Hollywood stage and then the New York stage, which the New York stage at WrestleMania 20 was awesome when Kane came out and it was like the city was in flames. That was very cool.
That was sick. Thank you, Josh. Scott, I actually missed a question. It's from Good Brother Mike. He says, what's up, boys? Good Brother Mike chiming in this week. Everyone in the community knows when we have a question about figures, we go to the professionals over at the Fully Prosable podcast. Oh, look at you.
Professionally unprofessional.
Can't wait to see the reaction that get. Now, I mainly collect mint on cards, so I look at it as I'm paying retail for the figure. Any accessories and not so much the look of the package, but the condition. I also have a loose collection, so I check sites like eBay, Mercari, OfferUp, and LetGo for deals. I see a lot of loose figures where people are asking $23 to $28 for some of the recent and not so recent elites. I feel that once a figure is open, that it loses some of its retail value, and those asking prices are too high. I know older figures, like the Jax Classic LOD figures or the Bret Hart Defining Moments, would be worth more than retail loose because they are great figures. My question is, do you feel that figures lose value once they've been opened? or does it depend on the figure or popularity of the name? Would like to know your opinions. Hashtag FigLife. Good brother, Mike. He put legend slash kingpin of toy spotting.
slash Big Lebowski.
My opinion, yeah, they do lose value.
Yeah, it's like driving a new car off the lot. As soon as you drive that new car off the lot, it depreciates in value. In my mind, same as when you open a figure. Now, to Mike's point, yes, the bigger names later on, the more expensive the figure loose. Especially like your defining moments lines, your older elites, those loose are going to go for more money. But with current figures, chases aside, I would say absolutely once you open it, like half off. That's kind of how I look at it. If I really want the figure loose, I can go to the secondary market and pick it up, but I'm paying no more than half off, dude. So like $10 for a loose.
Once that figure is popped open, nope, sorry. It's lost value right there.
Yeah.
Especially later on in life, what do a lot of people search? Carded.
Right.
Then they start to see the prices on the carded stuff and they're like, oh, wait a second. I could go loose. My budget can handle loose. It can't handle carded.
Exactly. That's what we look at when we go for the LJNs, right, Jeff? I mean, you're looking at how much is it to get a carded white shirt Hogan versus a loose white shirt Hogan. The difference is astounding. So in 10 to 15 years, when you're looking at some of these loose Mattels versus carded Mattels, which one do you think is going to be worth more?
And actually, this is a good thing for Toy Tracker or Toy Underscore Tracker. Go look at the differences between or the variances of mint on card Hasbros and loose Hasbros. It's perfect right there.
Absolutely. But I think, Jeff, a lot of the loose collectors, especially the loose collectors that listen to this show, they're not buying the figures, opening them, and then reselling loose figures. I think if they're opening their figures, they have them on display. And we've seen so many great pictures of people with their collection. And I really don't think people are buying these things to resell them. I think that a lot of times you'll just get a lot of a certain name in your collection. And you're like, oh, I'll just sell a couple of these off to get rid of them. But really, for me, unless it's an older elite or a big name, i.e. the elite LODs, or like you mentioned, the defining moments, Bret Hart, or any really of the defining moments, that's kind of when you're going to pay top dollar because you're getting the bigger name and an older figure. But anything new, I'm looking at half of retail, really. Basics like $5, elites no more than 10.
100%. Oh, also, I see a lot of people putting lots together of loose figures.
Oh, for sure.
And they'll be like, okay, this lot's $25. And I'm like, man, if you would have kept, say, one of those figures carded, that would be $20 to $25 right there.
Right.
So, right. Yeah. Anyways, kind of what we see in the collecting world, Scott.
Absolutely.
Oh, actually, although I will say for loose collectors, if you have all the accessories, that does drive up the figure a little bit more.
Oh, for sure. For sure it does. And you've always got to keep your eye on Craigslist. You've got to keep your eye on Facebook groups. The problem is now a lot of people know what they have. You're not able to get over on people with like, oh, I didn't know that this figure was worth that much money. Like, you're not going to find a Ludwig Borga Hasbro in a $5 bin, even though we have heard that story. it doesn't seem to happen much anymore. People know what they have. There is so much focus now on not only wrestling figures, but past wrestling figures. And people are doing their homework. So it's going to be harder to find the killer deals out there.
So thank you, good brother Mike. Kingpin of toy spotting. Thank you, good brother Mike, for sending that in.
We love you, good brother. Thanks for always helping us out, man.
Yes. Scott, that rounds out episode 171. Everyone, go pick up any of our past t-shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees or whatamaneuver.net. We've got the Slangin' It t-shirt. I just got the yellow Slangin' It from Pro Wrestling Tees. I'm just washing that up. I can't wait to wear it. Next, I'm going to get the Slangin' It tank top from Whatamaneuver, Scott.
Hey, sun's out, guns out. Summer's right around the corner.
Yep, and then we're going to do fully posable Speedos, and then sun's out, buns out, dude.
Yes, sir.
Hell yeah, cowboy. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts on FullyPosablePodcast.com, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Thank you to Arn Anderson for sending in that review.
Thank you, Arn. That was very kind of you.
You can email us any audio questions, or anything else at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, roll call.
Yes, sir. Roll call this week. We're going to throw it out to our amazing artist, Jason Wolf. You can follow him on Twitter at JasonWLF. If you need artwork, he's your guy. He's done all of our designs that you find on Pro Wrestling Tees, on What a Maneuver. So easy to work with. If you need artwork, I know I say it every week, but he really is your guy. If you want somebody easy to work with and you need artwork, talk to Jason Wolf.
And also, Scott, he's working on a new design for us that is not going on a t-shirt.
Yes. Yes. No more information than that. We don't want to spoil anything.
Right.
Who are we, LaShawn McCoy?
Well done. Well done.
Next up, we're going to throw it out to our buddy and your buddy, CJ, who writes a great wrestling figure column. You can follow him on Twitter at yourbuddyCJ. Our podcast brothers and sisters out there, we love you guys. Rant with Ant, Marty and Sarah, Breaker and Bane, and you can find their podcast every Sunday, just like ours, Breaker and Bane's Power Hour. Very entertaining. They cover the gamut. They talk about Funko Pops. They talk about pop culture. They talk wrestling, wrestling figures, you name it. They're talking about it. Not to mention, two great guys. And Bane drops that awesome song at the end of our podcast. It's Bane-a-mania season. Go give them a look. Not Your Mama Soap Opera, the Positively Pro Wrestling Podcast, PPW, Doing the Favor, and Chick Foley. And Jeff, our figure photographers this week. We're going to throw it out to Big Wood. That's at Big Woody, W-O-O-D-I-E style. Luke, and you can find him on Twitter at @I_fought_a_lion. Main Event League. And you can find them on Twitter at Main Event League. Ralphie Vibes, one of the best dudes on Twitter. Just awesome guy. Give him a follow. Go check him out on Instagram at Elite Figure Vibes. And that's V-Y-B-Z. Finally, Jeff, rounding out the figure photographers this week, we have WWE Stage Creator at Stage Creator WWE on Twitter. Couple of figure customizers this week, Jeff. The guy that did our custom figures and did a hell of a job, if I must say so myself, at Scribble24. And you can find him on Twitter at Scribble. That's SKRIBBEL24. Another great one out there, Jeff, at Asui88. That's at ASSUI88. And Jeff, another one to add to the list this week. This person was thrown out at me on Twitter, so I want to give him a shout out. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle, K-Y-L-E, Customs with a K, 2018. So make sure you go check those guys out if you need some custom figures. You might want to hit them up or at least follow them and check out their cool work that they do. And that rounds out the roll call for this week. Back to you.
Thank you, Bill.
What are you talking about, Bill?
Yeah, Kyle actually does really good custom work on those Hasbros. He's been posting a lot and tagging us a lot. He does excellent work on those, so give him a follow. And Ralphie Vibes, great dude. Big Woody, also great dude, doing some awesome shots. Scott, for episode 171, I know you're itching to get downstairs. You want to know the score of the Sharks Avalanche game right now?
I am itching to get down to watch game one, Jeff. I was acting a fool in Reno when the Sharks won in overtime on Tuesday night.
I saw your daughter's Snapchat.
Yes, that was just the beginning of it. If she had recorded the next 10 to 15 minutes, you would have been embarrassed. Squat was in full effect in Reno when the Sharks won in overtime, dude.
Was Squat out?
Yes. Yes.
Did you start like BA-ing all over the place?
So no, there was no flesh exposed. I won't get into it, but yeah, it was a good time, dude. Shannon and I were in rare form. It was like Squat turned up to, so like Squat and Nola was turned up to like 12. I would say this Squat was turned up to like 4 or 5, but when the Sharks won, he was turned up to like 15.
You didn't get in any fights, did you?
I did not.
Okay, good.
I did not.
Okay.
But dude, I did march through the sports book yelling Sharks. And Vegas blew a 3-1 lead.
Well done, Scott.
And that was done because there were guys talking crap downstairs when we were watching the game in the sports book. That's why we had to leave and go watch it in the arcade, because we didn't want to fight anybody. But when the Sharks won, we went down and handed them the receipt, Jeff.
So you didn't start a fight?
No. I didn't start a fight.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm like Billy Joel. We didn't start the fire.
Well done. Well done.
We just put it out.
I know you've got that itch. I've got the itch to turn on the TV to watch the Warrior and the Avalanche game also. So, Scott, we'll round this out. Anything else?
Happy toy hunting.
Thank you to everyone for listening to episode 171 of the longest-running episodic wrestling figure podcast going today. Hashtag Fig Life. Adios.
Yeah. Fully Posable. Let's go. Jeff and Scott, the Toon Brothers, busting out the ring. But we don't take it out the box, MOC. Happy toy hunting, we'll see you next week. We're the OGs of WFP. Fully Posable, thank you all for listening. It ain't no storyline, real life siblings. So everybody go and do your toy spotting. Hashtag Fig Life, adios from the Kings.